I would say his producing partner at the time, Terrence Chang, he's an executive producer on the movie. The two of us were working really hard to figure out, how do we remake this movie? What can we do to make it unique? And we were looking at a couple of different international versions of it with a different, you know, an international director and star. And we were trying different ways to approach the material. And I would say about maybe 15 years ago, the writer we were working with at the time, Josh Campbell, he had the idea of, like, what if we made this a female lead? And we flipped the whole idea of the killer into a female. And I went to John and I asked him, do you know, what do you think about this idea? And he got so excited because at this point, up until this point, he wasn't going to direct a remake of a movie he's already made. Why would he do that? But when I talked about flipping it to a female, then he said, okay, now that's a movie I want to make. I've never made a movie like that. And that's the one. So that's how we got going with a female character involved.
Nice. And how did you choose the person to play the female character? Tell me a little bit about the process about that, because those are some big shoes to fill and it's an incredible role.
Yes. Well, you know, it was a really interesting process. We explored the role with a few different actresses, and it never quite felt right. And when we found Natalie, it was exciting because what she would be bringing to the role and what she has brought to the role is a similar regal quality that Chow Yun-fat brings to the role, right? And she doesn't approach it or just come in as like this badass female that's, you know, hacking and slashing everywhere and you're scared just looking at her. She's got the sensitivity and yet that badass quality, right? She's got that duality, and it's very much, you know, in the same vein that Chow Yun-fat approached his role. And it's really exciting because I love watching how she's brought that kind of layer. So we knew we were in great hands when we found out she was available, and we were familiar with her work, and we knew she would bring a quality that would be less expected, which is so much more interesting.
Nice. And tell me a little bit about the challenges that went into making this and doing it with a female lead rather than a male lead.
Well, you know, I think that in terms of making it a female lead, it's funny that talking to different financiers, you know, over the years and different executives, there's this question is like, well, would a woman do this? Would a woman be an assassin? You know, why would this woman be an assassin? What makes her do this? You know, it's traditionally something we see more men in film roles, right, or in stories. And it's less of a quote unquote sort of female role. But, you know, the more we explored it and we had various background ideas, and we explore a little bit in the movie, it also started to become like, why are we having to justify so hard? If there's an equality there, she could still have the same reasons that her male counterpart would have going down this anti-hero path. Like, why does it need so much extra justification? And we decided the more you started poking at and trying to justify it, it took away from the story, you know, and it just no longer was important. It's just she embodied this role, and there were reasons she was there, and you get a little bit of that, and it's just enough that you need to know.
And what's one thing you're most looking forward to people seeing with this new project? Without giving too much away, of course, what is like one scene or one moment you're most looking forward to everybody seeing?
I would say there's a moment of real surprise from this character in the nightclub. And you don't see it coming, and you're not quite sure how she gets to how she's able to do what she does, to take out an entire room of a gang and dispatch all of them with ease. It's a really fun scene, and I think from start to end, it's very special.
And how do you relate to the character, or if you don't, what's one way that you wish you related to her?
Well, I definitely like that she sees things through to the end. And whatever that could mean, I do appreciate her sense of, you know, completion. She gets a job and she sees a job through, and I love that. And I would love to take those qualities in every area of my life to make sure I complete anything I start. I love that about her.
Nice. And what else are you working on, or is this pretty much your baby now?
Well, this has been my baby for a while, and I'm getting ready to launch some new projects. I'm working with some different writers and exploring some other things that I need to get done on my own. I'm very excited to kind of launch from this.
And what would be your dream project to have?
A dream project to have. Oh, that's a tough one, because I have a couple of things I can't really talk about quite yet that are in the works that I would say would be a dream project. But I'll keep that sort of close to the vest at the moment. But I would say I'm working on those dream projects right now.
Nice. And if you could work with anybody in the business, an actor, director, producer, who in each category do you want to work with the most and why?
I would love, I've always been such a fan of the works from Neil Gaiman. I would love to work with him, and create that surreal world that he creates. I love his stories. In terms of, you were saying for actors?
Yes.
That's a good one. You know, that's hard because when the different projects that I have that I'm looking at, there's so many different kinds of actors you need for different roles, right? Like I approach it more like, who is this role versus who do I want to work with? Because there's so many talented people out there. I have to put a pin in that one because that one's a bit hard. I think it's a little bit more particular to whatever project I'm working on. And then I could say, okay, who would be right for this role? This is such an unusual role. What actor out there embodies that? It's so unique. It's that's a tough question. That's a good question. That's a tough question.
And my cat, who's meowing next to me, wants to know if you have a role for her in your next project.
Always. I'm a huge animal lover. I absolutely think animals need to belong in film, but animals can never perish in a movie. That's my big thing. That's a problem I have. So if an animal perishes in a film or in a scene, I turn it off. I'm done. That's the
same.
I cannot
same.
Watch it. It's dead to me now.
That was like a dog movie. It was like a dog's purpose or something. The dog just kept dying and coming back.
Uh-uh.
And I'm like,
no,
nobody's watching this.
Nope. That's cheap. No, can't do that. Sorry. Not doing that. They're too precious of a soul, these little creatures. So, I'm with you, and I think they belong in every movie. There should always be a stunt dog, stunt cat, stunt fish. We should have them. It was actually really fun in The Killer when we had to we had to bring in the fish wrangler for the scene because there is a fish, a goldfish in the movie, and we had to kind of interview the style of fish and which fish, and that was pretty fun, and I was laughing. I'm like, okay, what kind of meetings, you know, are we going to have when you have to interview a fish wrangler and interview fish? So I kind of want to do that with some dogs next.
I like it. So tell me a little bit about how this fish wrangling interview went for The Killer. I want to hear how that went.
Well, that was kind of funny because we were all joking about, like, can you really get the fish to do something on command? Aren't we going to have to just CG this? Isn't it obviously need to be CG? And it's like, no. Like, what do you mean no? How could that be? And then trying to figure out, well, what size fish and what size fish bowl? And, you know, is there something too small? Was there something too big? You know, pulling in props people. It's hilarious having a big, long conference table filled with people all around it to have a meeting about fish. That was probably one of the funniest moments, during production for me, just having that experience. That's crazy. And then the birds too, like having somebody bringing a bunch of doves and then the doves not behaving right and trying to get them to launch the way you need them to launch or to like fly this way, don't fly that way. You know, it's pretty funny.
And do you have pets?
I lost my little 3-pound chihuahua during the shoot when we were doing
oh,
Silent Night.
Sorry.
I know, my little munchkin. I've had two little munchkins now that I've rescued. Both of them were 3-pound teacup chihuahuas. And they were my whole world. They came to the office. I had them at different times, but they were, the last one, Pina. I mean, she was at the office with me. She'd sit on my lap in every meeting. I was planning on taking her to Paris, actually. I thought, yeah, I think Pina needs to see Paris. Unfortunately, we didn't get to make that happen. So I will, when the time is right, because I still have sort of a Chihuahua hole in my heart. But at some point, I know I'll want to rescue another little munchkin.
Right. Actually, it's funny you mentioned rescuing. We started off as a foster dog, and now he's ours.
Oh, a foster fail. It's
Yes.
funny. I tried to foster a dog. I cried so hard when I had to give him up. I'm like, okay, I can't do this. I absolutely can't be a foster parent. It doesn't work. I bond too quickly, too hard. I'm like, I can't do it. And I know how important it is that they need foster parents out there, but I'm not built for it. I learned the hard way. I'm not built for it.
Yep, that's how I feel too. But I will tell you, all my animals have pop culture names too.
Oh, really? What are they?
Okay, the cats are Buffy, McNabb, Dobson, also known as Dobby and Benson. The
Nice.
dogs are Linus, which was the foster fail, Opal and Sophie, and the turtles are Penny and Mozzie.
I love that. I used to have two snakes, not at the same time as well, but I used to have a snake, a king snake, Othello, and then I previously had a rat snake, and his name was Snakespear.
I
And
love that.
I loved those snakes. They were so cool. Such pets that really dance. They're like really amazing how they move. They were super, super cool. I loved having them. Had a little difficulty with their nutrition needs. That was hard to reconcile after a while, for sure. But I really did enjoy the snakes. But yes, I am a dog person. I recently had to take care of a cat, and I did not do a very good job. I'm just not a good cat person. I kind of lost the cat in the attic for a little while, and managed to get it out. But I was just like, I don't think I know how to. I don't think I know how to take care of a cat well. So I'm going to stick with dogs.
Nice. And what's the, I just love animals. They're the best.
Yeah. They are.
And one thing I like asking people I interview is, tell me a fun fact about yourself.
Well, fun fact, I speak Mandarin Chinese, and I lied to get the job. I lied to get my job working for John Woo. I was in school in St. Louis, Missouri, and I heard that they were needing a Mandarin speaking assistant, and I knew if I call, I mean, I knew calling from St. Louis would be risky because there had to be plenty of people in Los Angeles that spoke Mandarin that could do the job. So when I called and they said, look, you're in St. Louis, we're really not comfortable setting a meeting because John's schedule changes a lot and he's shooting a movie right now. It was Broken Arrow at the time. And I told them I would just be in Los Angeles the whole summer. I had family out there and I'd be spending the entire summer in LA. So it was so easy. It was no big deal. I'm practically a resident. Let's just set the meeting. And it worked. We set the meeting. Thank God they never changed the meeting because that really would have been complicated for me. And so I flew out for the job and I got it. So it was sort of like a little white lie, if you will, in order to get the job.
Hey, nothing wrong with that. I mean, it became the truth, so it was a truth, a future truth. There you go.
Exactly. It's all good. No animals were harmed in the making of that story.
Fair enough. Fair enough. So, what are you watching on TV these days, since we're a TV site as well?
Oh, Slow Horses. I'm just so in love with that show. That and Lord of the Rings.
Oh, I love it. Did you watch, were you an original fan of the movies too?
Yeah. Yes. I mean, I love the books and then love the movies, and so excited to watch it. So yeah, I'm watching that right now.
I love it. I haven't started that one. That's on my list. I have so many things on my list that it's not even funny. But yeah, that's, I definitely want to check out, especially since I'm a huge fan to the point where I have Armin's necklace as a tattoo.
Nice. Wow. That's impressive.
Yeah, it's my
Yeah.
dedication to the genre.
Okay. That's really, really good.
Nice. And where can we follow you on social media so we can continue to follow this amazing career of yours?
Oh, I'm sorry, what was the question?
Where can you follow you on social media?
Oh, yeah. I'm on Instagram at L Tilkin, LTILKIN, and I'm on Facebook as well, but I stick to Instagram mostly.
Wonderful. Well, it was a pleasure to speak to you. And when
Me.
you're ready to talk about your projects, I can't wait to talk to you again.
Oh, I look forward to it. Thank you so much for your time.
No problem. You have a wonderful weekend. Stay safe.
Thanks, you too.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye-bye.